Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me and you. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me and you. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, we do come to say thank you for another day. Father God, we come to give your name all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. Father God, we embrace this brand new day, Father God, with joy, with a spirit of gratitude, thanking you for including us in it. Now, Father, we ask that you would use us for your glory and that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. We thank you for the efforts. We thank you for the productivity. We thank you for the effectiveness. We thank you for the souls being won. Thank you for the backsliders being claimed, the weak proclaiming their strength, the sick proclaiming their health, the lost pertaining, Father God, their salvation. Thank you, God, the brokenness proclaiming their wholeness. We want to say thank you, Father, for changing our course, changing our testimonies, changing the outcome. In Jesus' name. Bless the services on today, Father God, where you and you alone will be glorified and magnified and praised. Thank you, Father. We bind every spirit of interference, interruption. Glory be to God. It will not take root. It will not prosper. And it will not come to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We commit all things into your hands. And as you taught your disciples to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever and forevermore. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Top of the morning to you. Welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, mentoring kingdom leadership with Jesus Christ as the Lord, as we are rejoicing in one more day. One more day. We can't talk about tomorrow. Amen. We can't even talk about yesterday. Amen. But we got today. Amen. And God gave it to us. Amen. Hallelujah. So we bless him for it. Amen. And asking him to help us to make the best out of it, to be fruitful in this new day. Amen. I am Dr. Alfreda. Amen. We want to welcome all of our first-time listeners across the globe. Welcome, 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 welcome. You have indeed come to the right place at the right time. Jesus Christ is here. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a seat at the breakfast table. Breakfast is about to be served. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The breakfast for champions. And man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We want you to know that we meet on this platform 6 days a week at this hour. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. And we've been moving forward for quite a few years now. Amen. Going on towards year number 12. Amen. And the numbers keep going higher. Amen. Because God, amen, is taking us higher. Amen. And we are just so happy to know, amen, that we serve a God who loves us to the extent that he does. Amen. We've been celebrating Women's History Month of this month. Amen. Hallelujah. And we pray that you have enjoyed, amen, so many beautiful elaborations. There's so many. Amen. Everybody came forth in their own way. Some preached it, some taught it, some elaborated. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Everybody had a different form of communication, but the message was heard loud and clear. Amen. And the bottom line is this. Amen. The bottom line is Jesus is Lord. Amen. So we're learning something from all of the women. Today we will be talking about Bathsheba. Amen. Glory be to God. Some of you may not know who Bathsheba is, but you're about to find out. Amen. You're about to find out. Amen. Glory be to God. I want to introduce to us this morning, amen, our minister, amen, glory be to God, and she is growing, and the Lord blossoming, amen, steadfast, amen, glory be to God, this, amen, in a new place with God, amen, a new determination with God, a new positioning with God, a new season with God, and we just want to thank God, amen, glory be to God, because we've seen, amen, her, amen, walking through the testing grounds, amen, glory be to God, amen, hallelujah, and then when she fell, she just got up, amen, like the Lord said, amen, and you fall down, get on up, shake yourself, repent, confess, and keep on going, amen, and that's what we have to do in this Christian walk, amen, and so we have seen her, amen, just growing and triumphing, getting stronger and stronger, definitely a threat to Satan's kingdom, amen, glory be to God, but determined, amen. I'm telling you, strong-willed, intelligent, anointed, and appointed, gifted. Amen. Glory be to God for such a time as this. Amen. So we want to thank God, amen, for our minister Shannon Sprout, amen, out of Philadelphia. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. It is she who is going to come this morning, amen, and deliver unto us, amen, a little bit about Bathsheba. Amen. Glory be to God. So we can get some good points, amen, and know what part of Bathsheba we might want to, you know, be like, and what part of Bathsheba we want to stay away from. Amen. And to God be praised. Okay. Amen. So at this time, I want to introduce to some and present to others our Minister Shannon. Good morning, Minister Shannon. Are you there?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor. Yes, I am. Top of the morning to you, as you say, right back at you.
Thank you. Top of the morning to you too. Thank you for being here today. Amen. Glory be to God. And the floor is absolutely, absolutely, absolutely yours. Amen. Thank you for serving.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Just giving God all the praise, honor, and the glory for another day. And thank you, God, that we have all risen and shined because of you, making your face to shine down upon us. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, God. Even when we have not been faithful to you, God, you have been faithful to this earth, God. Any day above ground is a good day, and we just say thank you, God. Thank you for bringing us through. Thank you for raising us all up, God. Thank you for using us, God, for your glory, God. I pray right now, God, I ask you to forgive me for my sins, any way that I have fallen short of your word, God. I ask you to forgive me, God. I ask you right now to cancel, destroy, and dismantle everything that is not like you over me and over this prayer call in Jesus' name. And God, every tongue that rises up in judgment or otherwise, we ask for you to condemn and help us going forward to fight the good fight of faith. Give us the will to rent our hearts and not our garments, God. Give us the will, give us a will and an ear to hear what the Lord is about to say, God. As you speak through me, Holy Spirit, as you told me, acapella in the spirit, we say thank you, God. And Lord, I ask you right now to let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my strength. Oh Lord, my redeemer. In Jesus' name. Okay, as I was studying Bathsheba, but when I'm going to go back, when Pastor said the Holy Spirit spoke to her and gave each called out names and how she was supposed to give the order, and the Bathsheba, the Holy Spirit, put on her heart, tell Shannon Bathsheba. And I said, wow. I said, ooh, I already know what this, I didn't know in the beginning what it was all about, but as the weeks went on, Holy Spirit began to deal with me about certain things. I seen the parallel between David, Bathsheba, and this situation in my life. So I said, wow, okay, because the word comes to me first, and I'm about to give you what the Holy Spirit has given me. So now we see here a situation between David and Bathsheba. Most of the time when this story is told, we may see Bathsheba as a victim. But I am here to tell you today that Bathsheba was not a victim in this scenario. I'm here to tell you today that this was a premeditated sin. This was, some of us have had our Bathsheba moments, and some of us have had our David moments. But I'm here to tell you today that Bathsheba was not a victim. This was already preordained. Have you ever had a sin? I want to say that there are like maybe two different kinds of sins. There's sins, okay, when you didn't mean to do it, you didn't know you was going to do it. And then there are certain sins where you know, sure enough, I'm going to do this. I'm going to forget about. I'm going to leave who God has positioned me to be who I want to be for this moment and for this time. I want to tell you that this was premeditated. Here we see Bathsheba in 2 Samuel, starting at chapter 11, where David, here he is walking on the rooftop. We start at verse 2. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. And David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." So David sent this word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent him to David. When Uriah came in to him, David asked how Joab was, how the soldiers were, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house, wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the palace with all his master's servants and did not go down to his house. David was told Uriah did not go home. He asked Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped in the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and make love to my wife? As surely as I live, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to him, "Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat among his master's servants, and he did not go home. And on and on, and if you continue to read on, you find that David ultimately assigned Uriah to the hottest part of the battle so that Uriah would be killed to cover up his sin with Bathsheba. And if you go on a little further to 1 Kings, where Bathsheba is also mentioned as David's oldest son, Adoniah was aspiring to take hold of the kingdom. And while David was maybe resting, not feeling so well, but Nathan blocked it by going to Bathsheba, notifying her. And then Bathsheba asserted her power and her authority as queen and went to David to assure her son will take the throne, Solomon, by asserting her authority as queen. Now, I first want to say David had just defeated the Ammonites. David was already being successful. But David then decided, "I'm not going to be in the place that I'm supposed to be in. I'm not going to go to war. I am going to be on this rooftop looking." And I want to tell you that Bathsheba was bathing. This was very rash to be doing out in the bold opening. Bathsheba was positioning herself, maybe because she said, oh, I know David, who is handsome, diligent, you know, he's a warrior. David has killed tens and tens of thousands. She positioned herself on this roof at this particular time for such a time as this. Premature sin. I want to tell you that both of them were in the wrong place at the wrong time because they had already set in their hearts, we're going to do this. So she figured, okay, let me start bathing myself. The king going to see me. Excuse me, my voice has been raspy because I've been practicing doing choir stuff. So, and then David sees her. This is not a situation like Abnon and Tamar, where Tamar was raped by her half-brother. This is not that situation where she openly rebuked his advances and asked him not to do this, not to bring this shame on her. This is not the situation like Joseph with Potiphar's wife, where Joseph openly told her, no, I will not come and lay with you. It never tells you anywhere in the story that Bathsheba said, you know, didn't rebuke his advances. It just said they slept together. So I want to set the scene in your mind that Bathsheba went in. Here she is. Now she has finally gotten his attention. They lay together. And I want to tell you that maybe Bathsheba was not thinking, I'm going to conceive a child. But this is the result of what happened. Now, both of them could have been put to death for this, and they rightfully deserved it. But God had mercy on them, not allowing either one of them to lose their lives. But judgment was made, not on them and not on the child, but death. See, sin has consequences, and something had to be done. When we step out of who God wants us to be who we want to be in our lives, in those moments and seconds in our lives, that's why it is so careful that we stay alert, stay attentive. Don't give the devil a foothold. Don't crack that door and then find yourself in a situation where it is going to be detrimental. I want to tell you that this woman was in anguish once she went home and realized, now I am pregnant by this man. Let me send word to him immediately because I don't want to be shamed. I don't want to be put to death. I want to tell you that Bathsheba was sitting there agonizing, thinking, strategizing. Surely the king will do something. She may not have known David's whole plans to kill Uriah. It never says if it ever was revealed to her. But we know she mourned at the death of Uriah the Hittite. We also know that David went on to further cover up this act of adultery until the prophet Nathan came and brought it to his mind through a parable. I cannot tell the story of Bathsheba without linking David into this. Bathsheba's mistake, her weakness was committing adultery. Bathsheba did not have to fall for this. But Bathsheba must have been devastated by the chain of events, unfaithfulness to her husband, discovery of a pregnancy, death of her husband, death of her child. We are told that David comforted her in 2 Samuel 12:24, and she lived to see another son born down the line, Solomon, to sit on the throne. From her life, we see that the little day-by-day choices that we make are very important. They prepare us to make the right choices when the big decisions come. The wisdom to make right choices in small and large matters is a gift from God. Understanding this should make us more conscious of the decisions we make and more willing to include God in our decision making. Have you asked for his help with today's decisions today? I know some people, as saints of God, maybe they have lost their lives because of a decision they made. Today, I'm going to commit a premature sin, like premature murder. You got a chance to, what the court of law says, you have a chance to, you go home, you plan it out. Then you go and you set that plan into motion. You had a chance to relent, but you went forward. And as a result of this, you may lose your life. Today, I'm going to, instead of doing what God has called me to do and be the person and walk in the person that God has created me to be, I'm going to step outside of that. Because right now, I want to go to this party, and you end up going to this party, and as a result, maybe the cops come and bust the party. You get arrested. Or maybe worse, you lose your life. Or maybe even worse, you're accused of something and wrongfully arrested. Different scenarios. I'm just giving you some different scenarios to think about. We are not responsible for what happens to us as we are for how we respond to our circumstances. Disobedience to God almost always harms us as well as others. And it does. And I used to always think that what I do, it don't hurt nobody else but me. But it does. It's a trickle-down effect. Not only does sin in the open, and you know what I mean, when we openly sin, we put God to an open shame. That's why a lot of people don't want to be saved, because they look at us. Didn't you just say you was a Christian one minute? The next minute, you sleeping with somebody. But you're telling me, don't commit fornication. Don't commit adultery. Hold yourself. A willingness to respond to God gives us the opportunity to bring good out of a difficult situation. The willingness has two parts, asking God for his guidance and looking for that direction in his word. Knowing what actions are required for us means little without the will to do those actions. This could have all been avoided if Bathsheba would have went in her house, and even though she was purifying herself, she could have went in her room. She could have went in and took a bucket or whatever they did back in those times. She could have took her basin and did things decently and in order. But Bathsheba was looking for something. She was looking for something, and so was David, and she knew it. And see, and then here's another spin on this. You know, we know the triggers. Yeah, you can be saved for a long time. You can be saved, but not delivered, because your soul, we have this soul, you know what I'm saying? And to see, and certain things, we try to cover it up. I mean, I'm not saying that you act on it, but you know it's in you. And instead of you dealing with it, you let it sit there. And I want to tell you that this is what David and Bathsheba did. They let it sit there. And then they waited. David had just had a great victory. How can that be? I'm pastoring. I'm standing before millions of people today. I'm preaching a word. Soon as I leave, I'm going to tell, let's say you have, I mean, I'm just getting a scenario. Let's say I'm going to tell one of my security guards, okay, I'm finished preaching. Come here. Come here, you. I want you to go downstairs. I seen a guy in the audience. I want you to bring him to me. I seen him at a few shows. I see them at a few shows, and I just want to talk to them. So I want you to go and get them and bring them back. And don't use the other entrances. Use the back entrance where somebody won't see you bringing this person. Or how about this? I'm going to slip into this person's house. I know you married. I'm married. Doesn't make a difference. But there, where there's a will, there's a way. I'm going to slip in through the back door, and you open the door, and you come on in, and now we're going to commit this thing. We're going to get this out of the open, because I done seen you too many times, and I just want to do it and get it over with, but not thinking of the consequences of your actions. That person could have herpes. That person could have AIDS. Or worse still, you could be found out by the husband, the wife, and nowadays, they just shoot you. They don't wait. Now, premature death because of the consequences of your actions. Premature sin. I need some extra money. It's tax time. I got all these grandchildren, or I got all these kids. I'm going to sell a couple of them because I need to get this money. Okay, you get the money. You pay a couple bills. All right, nobody's hurt. Everybody's okay. The IRS didn't find out. But maybe next year you go try this same scam again. They pull you up and they say, all right, we're going to audit you. Who is this person? Jingleheimer Smith. Who is this person to you? Oh, that's my kid's something. You make up something. But now you're going to be held liable for that. Now you got to pay that money back. And now, not only, and IRS is ruthless, so now they're just going to, if you don't pay it, they're going to freeze your account. And now they're going to come after you and take it. Now you want to cry out to God, God, I don't deserve this. Grace is not getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting exactly what you do deserve. That's what makes this so bad, premature sin. When you see, when you know yourself, outside of God, you know yourself better than anybody. You may not know, you may say, I'm not going to do this, but then you find yourself doing that very thing that you said you're not doing, but you already know what's in you to do it. I know what's in me. I know what Shannon going to do one every minute of the day. I have a choice. We have a choice of what we choose to do. Either you're going to walk right or you're going to walk crooked. But either way, you're going to walk. But I want to tell you something about this situation with also with Bathsheba that makes this so disheartening. And as a result of the consequences of their actions to give way to their lustful desires for only one night, it caused the death of a child. And I know loss of any kind is very hurtful, but the loss of a child, premature death, your child leaves here before you do, is even more hurtful. And the fact that you have to stand there and accept the judgment because you know you was wrong. David had to accept the judgment. But before that, like David said, how do I know if God will not have mercy? So let me rip my garments. Let me roll around in sackcloth and ashes. Let me mourn. Let me fast for the child. Let me do, let me, you know, go before God repentantly in a humble and in a position, and maybe God will relent. But God said, no, he could not let that happen. He could not let that happen. But he still had mercy on them both. As a result, David's actions and Bathsheba's response to this action came at a cost. Effective leadership can be nullified by an ineffective personal life. David was in a position of authority. But I want to tell you that David was ineffective at this moment because he didn't keep his flesh under subjection. He allowed that lust to fester. And I'm going to imagine that when you do a premature sin, and I'm speaking openly, when you decide to do a premature sin, like there has been times I've been on a spiritual high. I don't know no kind of way to put it. I've been like, I feel God. I feel his anointing. I feel him flowing. I'm moving. I'm hearing him. I'm responding. It's like we're in sync. We're united. And there can be those moments that Shannon says, okay, I think I need to be rewarded, not thinking of the consequences that I'm already being rewarded. But I'm going to step out. I'm going to make this phone call, and this person on this other end of this line is going to answer. Because we got caller ID, and so they know what this phone call means. I used to have this saying in the natural when I wanted to pursue a man, especially a man that I'm just going to say, what if I wanted to pursue him, I would say, if I was in a bar type of setting, send that man down there a drink. After that drink comes, you see a person say, who sent the drink? They look over to see who sent it. You put your hand up, whatever you do, you gesture. For me, once I go down to that other end of that bar, the first thing me as a jokester always say, look, I don't care what happens tonight, dead or alive, you coming with me, okay? You gonna get in this car, and we going where we gonna go. You already know. I ain't got to explain myself. And yes, Sister Shannon was just that bold. But with that same boldness, I tell you, as now as a servant of God, I knew what I was going to do. I knew my intentions. But now as a servant of God, when these things happen, I feel the conviction. I felt that way in advance when the Holy Spirit might put something in my spirit, and I'd be like, why? This is 2 weeks. Why God got me thinking this way, or reading a certain scripture, or a certain person will call or text right at that moment? And I'm like, it's like God knows what you're about to do, but he's trying to stop you. God did not stop David, but I want to tell you, David knew God's favor and hand was on him. David knew that God loved him. God did not withhold anything from David. So when God came to him through Nathan and told him, if you would have asked me for anything, I would have gave it to you. But this right here, I cannot ignore. God cannot ignore sin. God will not excuse our sin. We will pay the consequences for our actions. So let's look at some of the life lessons we can learn from Bathsheba. Although we may feel caught up in a chain of events, we are still responsible for the way we participate in those events. She was still responsible. And not to mention, although Bathsheba did make this mistake, she realized her authority later on when Samuel's brother, who could have been his older brother, and Absalom was trying to assert themselves when they seen that David was a little sickly, and he appointed himself to the throne. He didn't invite the main people that he knew could get back to David. But Nathan went to Queen Bathsheba at the time. Now she knows who she is. And now, in her wisdom, she was influential. Becoming influential in the palace alongside her son Solomon was the mother of Israel's wisest king and an ancestor of Jesus Christ. She asserted her authority on behalf of her son to assure his lineage. She went to David and said, look, you promised me that my son would sit on the throne. Now here it is, your son is trying to take the throne. She is reminding David of his covenant and of his promises. David arises up and says, "Surely, I will make sure that our son sits on the throne, and immediately called a decree for this to take place, that Solomon would be put on the throne. She asserted her authority. So she still was blessed. She lived a long life. She lived a long life. And she was formidable, a formidable queen. As queen, she must have been aware of the various intrigues that occurred when David's sons arose up against him and vied with each other to take power from the king. When David was near the end of his life, Bathsheba heard rumbling that another of David's sons, Adonijah, had set himself up as king. She realized it. Bathsheba lived a long life. She had been a victim, but I want to say no, she wasn't, of a king's lust, a grieving mother, a political schemer, and a reverent queen mother. Her experiences encompassed the worst and the best, the heights and the depths of human circumstances and emotions, but perhaps the notoriety of her scandalous adultery is ultimately overshadowed by her legacy as mother of the wisest of Israel's kings. She was lover to one of the greatest kings, King David, the lineage of which Jesus would come from. But she was also the mother to one of the wisest and richest men, Solomon. This woman was strategic. When she walked up there, she may have been on that roof before. She knew that was David's favorite place to roam. So she positioned herself. She said, oh, no, I'm going to get you. But behind that came a tragedy. A sin may seem like one small seed, but the harvest of consequences is beyond measure. In the worst possible situations, God is still able to bring good about when people truly turn to him. While we must live with the natural consequences of our sins, God forgives us. Forgiveness of sin is total. So when you decide to step out like Bathsheba and David, and you're in the wrong place at the wrong time because you say, I want to commit this or do this, or I want to tell a lie, or I want to do this, and then I'll repent, or maybe, you know, nothing won't happen. I can cover it up. Maybe you do for a while. But you still feel that thing that I just said is still in you. Your Bathsheba moment is still in you. And you keep sinning over and over again with that one thing. So as the Holy Spirit was ministering to me, and I said to the Holy Spirit, why Bathsheba? Why did you pick this for me? I waited. I didn't hear anything. Matter of fact, I didn't hear anything until this Sunday just passed. As I was going over my notes, the Holy Spirit said, now, Shannon, do you notice that David was very victorious? He had just defeated the Ammonites. But right after that, David decided premature sin. The Holy Spirit didn't need to go no further. I knew what he was saying, and I immediately thought about the scripture, to whom much is given, much is required. You just can't go out and live and do anything you're doing because, Shannon, people are watching you. People are watching Bathsheba. People are watching David. People are watching you. Everything. Once you say, I'm a servant of God, people start looking at you more. They looking at you when you don't think they are looking at you. So the least little thing you do affects the kingdom. Because we are light and we are salt. How is that going to look when they see us out of pocket? And we may have just did something great for the Lord. We preached the message that won souls, brought souls. We gave, and God blessed us immensely, and our testimony was very effective. But one mistake, and they look and they say, look, I told you, I'm not going to believe in this God. If God can't deliver them and make them act right, like if you stealing from God or you stealing from the church and then it becomes publicized, look how we're putting God to an open shame. Tammy Baker and that whole Baker incident, y'all sitting up here acting up all these TV evangelists, everybody, get your caught in the cookie jar, you get caught doing whatever you're doing, and now the people of the world is looking and like, look, see, and these are God's people, look at them, look how they acting. But they come on here telling us what not to do, and they can't even keep themselves. They got gambling habits that's causing them to steal. They have drug addictions that they know is wrong. You may take that pain pill starting out because you got back pain, knee pain, but anything after that, and you know the pain is going, you doing this and you can get high off of it. But then the next week, God uses you, and yeah, you are being effective. But behind the scenes, God wants to tell us, why do you keep having these Bathsheba moments? Because you're in the wrong place. You're in a place that you know you should not be. And I beg to tell you, before you crack and open that door, let God come in. Give it to him. See, look, God, I want to keep using you. I want you to keep using me. And I want to stay on fire for you. And I don't want to put you to an open shame. This is in me, and I can't get rid of it. This gambling is in me. This lying, it's in me. This cheating, it's in me. And worst of all, their sin, which is lust. This lust is in me. I'm getting married tomorrow, but I'm still gonna go forward and get married. But this lust is in me, and I'm gonna just marry him right now because I'm not marrying him for the right reason anyway. Or her, I'm marrying him for security. I'm marrying him because it's right in the Bible site. I don't care if they don't have a job; they are broke ass. I don't care. I'm gonna marry him. I'm gonna move him in my house, and all these different excuses that we give for why we want to do things. But you already know what's in you. Why not let's deal with it first? Let's get it out in the open. That's the problem, and that's why I try to be as brutally honest as I can. And as God is delivering me from people, I'm learning and I'm saying, okay, God, I'm just going to go forward. And that's why I always put myself in that position. Because I hear God saying to me, do you really want to be healed? And this is one of the way of being healed, by exposing it. No, I don't run from it. I don't try to cover it up. It's not a good feeling. But when the Holy Spirit say reveal it, I do. Because God does not call perfect people. Noah used to get drunk and expose himself. Moses was a murderer. Abraham was a liar. And the list goes on and on and on. God does not call perfect people. Sometimes we don't want to expose things that God has already delivered us from. But sometimes as a testimony, we have to go back. Sometimes God got to remind us. You didn't do these things on your own. You didn't get to the place in me on your own. God knows who you are when he calls you. He knew who David was. He knew David was going to fall. But he also knew that David was a man after his own heart. And he already knew that David already knew what to do. David did not make any excuses when caught. David immediately went how we all should be. God, I messed up. I'm not going to blame this on nobody else. I did this. Shannon did this openly, knowingly. I saw the roots coming in my mind weeks ago. When Pastor asked me to bring forth this word, I saw it. But instead of me saying, doing the things that I know I'm supposed to do in the Lord. I didn't. And I let it take root. And once we know those things take root, they come out of us. Now we acting on it. Let us have the right heart, mind, and spirit. Let us not keep having our Bathsheba moments. Bathsheba was a good queen. She triumphs. She picked up herself from this situation. She lived a victorious life. In the end, God was able to use her circumstances to turn it around for good. God can turn anything around. God can turn anything around. Bathsheba was beautiful, and David was gorgeous. I mean, these two knew that they had the looks. But that's the outward appearance. Sin is ugly. Sin is ugly. I pray that this Bathsheba moment word helps somebody. Premature sin. You can be at the height in God. You can be experiencing great highs and great depths in God. But one thing, one mistake can cost you something. Sin causes something. Yes, God will have mercy on us. Let's not use the liberties, the talents, gifts, abilities that God has given us for occasion to sin. Now, as I walk with Christ, not perfect, but as I walk with Christ, not perfect, God continues to show me different things. Each time righteous, you know, God's bringing forth righteousness, but each time I learn more and more and more. And I always put myself in that position because each one of these, the Bible is deep. Each one of these stories, I see myself in them. I really do. I see myself in them. And now I'm so grateful. I say, God, thank you for choosing David because that also showed me something. I'm a woman after God's own heart. God is going to continue to use me. And I'm going to get to a place, we all are going to get to a place where that one thing, we won't be having these Bathsheba moments. Because I decree and declare pretty soon, some of us are going to be having husbands, and some of us are going to be having wives. And some of us are going to be having great strides. Great strides. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for using me for such a time as this. Father God, thank you for using me to bring forth this word. I pray, God, that your people are edified. You are glorified and our flesh is crucified. I thank you, Lord, always, God, for using me, God. Thank you, God. I pray that all will go forward with victory, with traveling mercy, with protection, favor. Make your face to shine down upon everyone on this line. Whatever decisions they have to make, God, help us not to lean to our understanding, but to trust you and trust you, even though we can't trace you in our situation. So you slay us, yet we will trust you, God. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter, God. But you know the people that we are. We thank you for canceling our Bathsheba moments, the bad moments. But we thank you, God, for helping us to exert our power as your people. And I seal this under the blood of Jesus Christ. Every spirit of retaliation is canceled and destroyed. In Jesus' name I pray with thanksgiving. My mind, my heart, and my soul says amen, amen, amen. To God be the glory. Everybody have a blessed day.
Amen, amen, amen. God, thank you for using our Minister Shannon. Amen, to bring forth an excellent message, gospel message, amen, on our Bathsheba moment, avoiding our Bathsheba moments. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Amen. Minister Shannon, I took a couple notes as you were preaching, amen, and teaching on this morning, amen. And I made some notes here that once hearing you loud and clear, once sin gets started, it is difficult to stop. Glory be to God. And we saw here through temptation and lust, David and Bathsheba coming together, which brought about devastating results. Glory be to God. And as you said, the consequences of sin affect not only us, but the thing we have to see here, beloved, is the consequences of sin affect those we know and it affect those that we love. Glory be to God. Because we saw here, they had the baby, they lost the baby. Not only that, the consequences of their sin, as you said, when you continue reading, murder was a constant threat in the family from that point on. There was family rebellion because of that. Glory be to God. And God also told David that someone else is going to sleep with your wives. All of that. Because of one night, one night of the freaky deek, one night of knocking boots, one night when Bathsheba could have just went, put her clothes on. Bathsheba knew what she was doing. I agree with you. She knew what time David would be there. Glory be to God. She set him up and he set himself up. Beloved, hear the word of God as it has come forth in the spirit of excellence this morning. It's much easier to stop sliding down a hill when we are near the top than when we are halfway down. And the best solution is to stop sin before it starts. As I was sharing with somebody on yesterday, the sin is yours. The choice is yours, but the consequences belong to God. The consequences belong to God. Amen. Our Bathsheba moments. Awesome. 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 God bless you. And I'm so proud of Sister Shannon. Girl, I'm telling you, I love the title of your new book. Amen. About the acapella moments. What's the exact title of that it's going to ring about going acapella?
Well, the first book that will be coming out is Pinnacle. But the second one, as I was, the Holy Spirit was downloaded, said, okay, now the next book will be We're Going Acapella in the Spirit.
My God. Going
acapella in the Spirit.
Oh, God, that's dangerous.
Acapella in the Spirit. And
that's dangerous.
I'm writing out. I got all my pens, my highlighters. I mean, I went through a little writer's block, and because of, you know, certain things, but I'm not going to know what excuses be gone. I just got to get in there and do what God has commanded me to do, and God has given me the power, the authority to do it. I decree and declare we're going forward in victory. And when I could see us sitting at the table somewhere signing them books, like, wow, I never thought that it could be like this, God. I never thought that you could use me in the way that you are. And I am just so humble, so humble. I can never get a big head because I'm thinking, God, who am I that you are so mindful? When these books come out, they're going to be powerful. I know it's going to make some people take a double take. But, hey, it is what it is. I want to be healed. I want to be, you know, we're moving and we're in a new climax in Christ now. We're in a new season. We're in a new hemisphere. New things are coming to birth, and we're all a part of it. We're giving birth to our babies now, and I'm just happy and excited to see what God is showing me. If this is not a time for us to cower back, I keep saying that, go forward. No matter if you make your Bathsheba moments, don't let that stop you. That didn't stop Bathsheba. She went on to assert herself as queen. She went on to assert her authority. She activated it for her son, for her legacy. This is what I'm trying to say, you know? Like Pastor just said, and I didn't even think about that, that later on as you read, his half-son Amon raped his half-sister, which was Tamar. What another devastating thing came about. And ultimately caused another son to kill his half-brother. And then as you keep reading on, Absalom died. Craziness. I mean, this is crazy, but I have been called. This is what we have been called to do as servants of God. I mean, now I got people who know what kind of life, who I used to be, coming to me saying, Shanna, can you pray for us? I'm like, wow, you know the person you're asking. They say, yeah, we heard you talking or speaking, or I just say a few words. Can you just pray with us? So now my family, my natural family, has asked me to speak over my cousin's funeral on Tuesday at Enon Baptist Church. And I'm like, wow. I'm just so grateful that God is using me. Because like Pastor just said, many people are waiting for us. Some young girl, some boy is waiting on these books. Somebody is waiting on your books. Somebody is waiting on you to get it together. Your children, your grandchildren, their legacies hang in the balance. There's still so much more worth fighting for. Our children, this nation. Like Pastor just said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal the land. We want healing. Do you really want to be healed? Just let that drop in your spirit today as you go about. Do I really want to be healed? Thank you so much, Pastor.
Amen. You are welcome. Amen. To God be all the praise. When we go to the pinnacle, then we can go acapella. Amen. Glory be to God. And so we just want to thank God for Minister Shannon. Amen. I was ministering to somebody on yesterday, and they got a little angry with me. They got a little angry, and I told them, I said, you know what? God will forgive the sins, but you still have consequences. And they didn't think that was scriptural. And I, you know what? I used to feel the same way. I would get mad when the preacher would talk about consequences, you know what I mean, for our sins. Glory be to God. But here we go, beloved, and it's all throughout the Bible. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. David, God did forgive David, and God will forgive you when you sin. But them consequences, ain't nobody talking about them consequences. And the woman, she really got mad with me yesterday. Well, God forgave, you know, the woman caught in adultery. And you want to take this? I said, yeah, he did forgive. He going to forgive you too, but you still got consequences. You go out there and kill somebody. Yeah, God to forgive you. God to forgive you. You go straight to heaven, but guess what? You're going to do 30 years in prison. See, we forget about that. We forget about the consequences for our actions. See, God will have mercy on whom he had mercy. God chooses the consequences. See, but this, you're going to have to pay the piper, baby. You better pay the piper. You better think. You better think. Amen. Thank you, Sister Shannon. We can go on and on. But one other thing you said, God always make a way to escape the temptation. I know in my own personal life, every time I was about to do something wrong, I had a way out of it because God made a way. But nah. Mm-hmm. All right. Come on. Amen. Our Bathsheba moment. Awesome. Blessed. Father, we say thank you for the word that will never return into your void. Thank you, Father God. We have so many bullet points in this presentation today, the good, the bad. Oh, Father God, help us to overcome our Bathsheba moments, knowing that greater is he that lives within us than he. Amen, that lives in the world. As we go forward today, help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. Oh, Father God, we cancel bad news, tears, and sorrow. Father God, hallelujah, we bind every spirit of retaliation and help us to overcome every Bathsheba moment. Father, help us not to yield to temptation. Father God, to be tempted is not a sin, but to yield is. So, Father, we say thank you. We say thank you, thank you. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. And our soul says amen, amen, amen. Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Meet us at 12 o'clock at the altar of prayer and Bible study tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Also, I didn't get a chance to call. I didn't get a chance, y'all, okay? Now, some of you said that you wanted to jump in on the choir, amen, to represent the ministry. Tonight is choir rehearsal night at Temple of Refuge. I think tonight, I think they're going to have one more, okay? So, amen. I don't need to hold anybody's hand. Amen. If you need the address, just let me know. Amen. We appreciate you. Amen. If we can get a couple people, amen, glory be to God, to represent us, amen, for our Easter service, amen, hallelujah. So, amen. God bless you. I love you, love you, love you, love you. Amen. Sister Shannon, Minister Shannon, thank you again, amen, for that awesome message on our Bathsheba moment. Amen. Helping us to stand strong, amen, so we don't have to reap all the consequences. We have to reap all the consequences. Amen. Glory be to God. Ah. And then when the consequences hit, you want to run to the pastor and have the pastor or somebody pray some type of magical prayer over you. Amen. To pull you out of this dilemma. And without even giving the person or the concept the details. I had to tell that person yesterday, don't play with me. If you're going to come to me and want me to pray for you, then you can't be picking and choosing what information you're going to share with me. I need to know how to pray. And then when I pray, I'm not God. See, God, and this is why you have people running from church to church, ministry to ministry, because the consequences are coming at them. You can't stop the consequences that God sends your way. Some things, beloved, we have to accept what God allows. You have to pay the piper. And then you wonder why God is not answering your prayer. You are reaping the consequences. So go through it and ask God for mercy. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Just ask God for mercy. Oh, they suffering so bad. Yeah, okay. Let's pray that suffering stop. But now, wait a minute. You come to me. I want to know why you're suffering. Don't play with me. Why are you suffering? You don't want to tell me about what you, oh, you don't want to tell me about your Bathsheba moments. You just want somebody to pray the suffering away without acknowledging and confessing your Bathsheba moments. Beloved, confess your faults one to another, and then you will be healed. In Jesus' name, everybody, amen. Walk in the blessing, the blessed manifestation. Is already here. Love you. Meet you at Bible study tonight. Amen. Meet you at 12 o'clock prayer altar. Meet you here tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be talking about Dinah. Dinah. You said, who is Dinah? Well, call in tomorrow and find out. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Love you. Have a good day. Oh,